Well, the U.S. is moving quickly towards war with Iran and Russia, and we will need to ask right now, who the hell is actually running the United States of America right now? Which deep state actors are pulling the strings? Is President Biden running the country? Do you guys think President Biden is running the country? Is Kamala Harris running the country? Who is exactly? We should all be demanding answers to this. We'll come back to that part of the story in a second. But first, yesterday, the real president of the United States, Benjamin Netanyahu, came to Washington, gave his annual State of the Union address, addressed a joint session of Congress. The real reason, of course, he came to town wasn't about getting more U.S. money or more U.S. weapons, although that's something he did talk about. No. The real reason was to make a case for the U.S. to go to war with Iran. According to private meetings he was having with members of Congress, it wasn't about U.S. weapons and money. It was about going to war with Iran. And he also wanted to make sure that we are on the same page in their plans to attack Iran. And also to create a new version of NATO in the Middle East known as the Abraham Alliance, sort of a play on the Abraham Accords, his new name for it, the Abraham Alliance in the Middle East. Listen.
In the Middle East, Iran's axis of terror confronts America, Israel, and our Arab friends. This is not a clash of civilizations. It's a clash between barbarism and civilization.
So it's all about Iran. 94% of all members of Congress, of course, take money from Netanyahu and Israel and the Israeli lobby. So they are totally owned by Israel. Therefore, all of the massive applause yesterday, there was even like hooting and hollering that was taking place on the floor of the floor of the Senate yesterday. Journalist Richard Medhurst had an immediate response to this. Watch.
And then he says, "Help us fight Iran. Our wars are your wars. We're the good ones. They're evil." And then he says, "Here's my vision for Gaza. Here's my vision for the Middle East. I want more land by demilitarizing, meaning controlling Gaza. I want you to recognize the Syrian Golan Heights as being Israeli. I want more normalization with Arab traitors like Saudi Arabia. I want you to come and build military bases in the Middle East so you can defend Israel. Basically, do everything that I want. I own you."
Yeah, I own you.
This is exactly what Scott Horton warned about in his book, Enough Already, about how the United States wages war all the way across the Middle East and uses Israel as a land-based aircraft carrier. He is laying that out. This is what peacemongers like us have been warning about, is Israel is saying, "We'll be your aircraft carrier, dude. Come on over here because we're on board with waging war with all of these people."
Yeah, and, you know, of course, the mainstream media is totally in the tank for this. CNN absolutely wants a war with Iran. Remember, that's how they made their money. CNN made gallons of money from the war in Iraq. They absolutely want a war in Iran. So does all of the corporate media. They want a war. They want a massive war because that means ratings for them. We absolutely do not want a war here on this channel. And immediately all over cable news yesterday, social media Republicans lined up to support this message of war with Iran. They're all reading from the same Netanyahu script. Watch. Here is Byron Daniels.
"There is a key decision that needs to be made in politics today. Are you going to stand with Israel or are you going to stand with the Iranian regime that has promoted Hamas and Hezbollah into causing terror attacks on the nation of Israel? It's that simple."
When they say it's that simple and they present it to you as a binary, know that you're seeing somebody lying to you in order to sell you war. I mean, we get this with Putin. It's Putin or nothing. Putin takes over the world or nothing. Like, no, we can see through this now. We are not stupid.
Yes. Our audience is not stupid. You guys understand that this is all propaganda and this is being used. And then, by the way, if you criticize this, then you're an anti-Semite, which you know by you guys.
Oh, we're going to get to that at the end of the show.
You guys are smart. You guys know better than that.
Yeah.
You literally have to be mentally retarded to think that at this point. You know better than that. That's propaganda. That's the language they use to try to keep you in support of a war. The fawning praise continued with Senator Dan Sullivan. This is funny.
Just walked out of the incredible speech by the Prime Minister of Israel, one of the most powerful speeches I've seen in a joint session of Congress. He laid out the stakes that this is an axis of evil with regard to Iran, an axis of chaos, and it's literally barbarism versus civilization. That's what's at stake. Iran is the agent of chaos throughout the Middle East. Iran is our declared enemy, as the Prime Minister mentioned and reminded us Americans, and Israel is in the Middle East fighting the fight against Iran. I hope that this speech will give President Biden and the Vice President the courage to drop their appeasement policies against Iran.
Somebody gong him, please. We need to have the gong at the ready for that.
And privately this week, Netanyahu's meeting with the war pigs in both parties to get ready for this war. Tucker, of course, warned us about this months ago.
We seem to be heading to war with Iran. Certainly the Biden administration is pushing us in that direction. What's new and interesting and ominous is that very few Republicans, the opposition party, are pushing back. Instead, some of the party's leaders are encouraging it. Here, for example, is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina from last weekend on NBC.
You said this week that the only way to keep the war from escalating is to hold Iran accountable, part yes. of what you're talking about now, yeah. and that it might mean bombing their oil refineries. Yeah. Have you had any discussions with the Biden administration about this?
A bit. Here's my message. If Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, launches a massive attack on Israel, I would consider that a threat to the to the state of Israel, existential in nature. I will introduce a resolution in the United States Senate to allow military action by the United States in conjunction with Israel to knock Iran out of the oil business. Iran, if you escalate this war, we're coming for you.
Are you effectively poised to declare war on Iran? That's very strong language.
I am poised to use military force to destroy the source of funding for Hamas and Hezbollah.
No, that's Lindsey Graham. Few others in the Republican Party will be that open about their intentions, but very few disagree with him.
Okay, Hezbollah was created after Israel attacked Libya, Lebanon. So Hezbollah exists in order to tamp down the Israeli threat to other Arabic states. So that it makes no sense what he's saying. Like, Hezbollah wants to escalate. They exist because of the oppression of Israel. So he's just saying words he thinks that we will find scary because they're associated with sort of Arabic sounding groups, I think.
Well, I think a lot of these guys, go ahead.
Was the escalation he was talking about, was that, I don't remember when that came up, but was that before or after Israel had fired a missile and killed a diplomat in Iran? Because that sounds like escalation.
I think what he said was before.
Yeah, that was before. Yeah, that was before. So make no mistake, we're barreling towards war with Iran, and Russia will not sit by and watch Iran attack. They will enter a world war to prevent that from happening. Colonel Douglas McGregor just issued this stark warning this morning.
Americans, Mr. Netanyahu will visit Washington, D.C. this week. He will no doubt elaborate in private on his strategy for wider war in the Middle East. His plans should be taken seriously by every American citizen. At this moment, the war in Gaza has already destroyed or disrupted millions of lives. Precise numbers are hard to confirm, but hundreds of thousands of Palestinians and increasingly Israelis have been internally displaced, wounded, or killed. These aren't just numbers. They are shattered families and ruined lives. And yet, there are policymakers in Washington contemplating war with Iran. I ask you, if the human cost of the war in Gaza, a localized conflict, is this high, how much higher will the cost of a war with Iran be? For decades, we've lurched from one costly conflict to another: Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Ukraine. The price? Tens of trillions and tens of thousands of American lives. But who pays this price? Not the policymakers or defense contractors who profit from these wars. It's the children of farmers, truckers, nurses, and plumbers who fight, suffer, and die.
In other words, don't fall for it. the deep state is actively trying to push us to war with Iran right now. But as Colonel Mack points out, average Americans would be devastated by Netanyahu's plan to attack Iran.
A war with Iran would devastate our economy. Imagine the Straits of Hormuz, a narrow sea highway between Iran and Arab countries, closed. Every day, one-fifth of the world's oil travels through this passage. If war shuts it down, gas prices would skyrocket, affecting everything from your daily commute to the cost of groceries. We're already feeling the punch from Houthi disruptions in the Red Sea. Now picture that problem multiplied many times over. A full-scale war with Iran wouldn't just be an inconvenience. It would trigger an economic crisis that would hit every American family hard.
And that, my friends, is the point. As Brooke in the chat asks, she says, I guess I don't know, understand enough about it. Why such hate against Israel? I didn't say anything hateful towards Israel. What I'm simply pointing out is that the United States government and the United States Americans should not be involved in a war in the Middle East. That all you need to do is read multiple books on it. Read John Mearsheimer's great book on the Israel lobby and understand that there is zero benefit to the Americans, to the American economy and to Americans for supporting a massive war in the Middle East. It will destroy us. That is all we're saying. You know, and I have many friends that live in Tel Aviv, and they are actively dislike Benjamin Netanyahu. So this idea that there's this sort of monolith that everyone in Israel loves Benjamin Netanyahu is
absolutely... Or hates Arabs and want a war with every surrounding country. Absolutely, the people of Israel do not want that.
That's why there's been tens of thousands of people protesting in the streets against this, against Netanyahu. They want a ceasefire and they want their hostages released, and therefore, and Netanyahu will not do as such because that would mean he would lose a grip on power.
And recall that Israel has mandatory military service. You have to serve if you are an Israeli citizen. So that means that every family in Israel would be dragged into this bloody and dangerous war. And what Israel's trying to do is sell us a template so that we go along with them. So then what we talked about yesterday, this mandatory draft would come to our shores too. So it wouldn't be like the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, where really only the working class suffered the death that in the United States. No, it would be for all of us.
And I want to point out too, it's like, we're sending money, our hard-earned money. Every dollar in the U.S. is our dollars, right? We're sending money to a country that has a surplus. It's the equivalent of like a homeless man seeing Bill Gates walk down the street and giving him money. He doesn't need it. They don't need our money.
Right. No, they don't. They have a surplus space agency.
But they get to give it back to Congress, don't you see? That's the beauty of it, is we send them the money and then they turn around and give it back to Congress. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a money laundering scheme.
Yeah, that's a good, it's a great money. Well, just like Ukraine, it's been a money laundering scheme, right? Mm-hmm. It's funny that Americans can stand, we're allowed to protest the war in Ukraine. We absolutely don't want American money and American dollars and American soldiers going into Ukraine to fight a fruitless war.
Oh, no, Clayton, but we're allowed to do it now. Recall that this channel was penalized for criticizing the war in Ukraine when it broke out in 2022. Only because of some passage of time are we allowed to criticize that war.
So who's actually running the government? Well, that's a good question. Last night, President Biden delivered his speech supporting Kamala Harris, but he didn't give a reason as to why he was dropping out. We all know it's because he has dementia. He won't say it, though, and he didn't say it last night, though Corinne Jean-Pierre told us it has nothing to do with his health, and he would explain it last night. So who's really in control? Listen.
Said that it's in the country's best interest for him to step aside. Why is it in the country's best interest for him to step aside? Does it have to do with his health?
They have nothing to do with his health. Again, the president's going to speak to this directly to the American people tonight in prime time. I know many of you all will be watching it. There are specials going on tonight. I promise you, he will speak to this directly to all of you tonight. But in his letter, he talked about the country, he talked about the party, he talked about the moment that we're in right now. It is not about his health. I can say no, that's not the reason, but hear him out tonight.
And the president denied...
Yeah, but he didn't. So she lied. Once again, he didn't mention anything as to why he was stepping down. It had nothing to do with his health. Why then? We still don't have an answer to that. We really don't. So who's actually running the country? This question came up yesterday during the grilling of Chris Wray, the FBI director, and Matt Gaetz asked this very interesting question. He wasn't mean about it, but who's really running things? You have briefings with the president all the time. Who's running the show over there? And if we're barreling towards war with Iran, who's calling the shots? Who in the deep state is running things?
I take you at your word when you say this is the most complicated threat environment you've ever observed over a long career in law enforcement. And I'm just kind of wondering, with this assassination attempt, with the invasion at our border, with all the Hamas that have been let in that you've talked about and briefed about, like, is Biden up to it? And if he's not up to it, and you're a guy who's been regularly briefing him, like, who's been in on this conspiracy to hide the real Joe Biden from all of us for years? It never occurred to you that this guy wasn't up to it in all these briefings you did?
As I said, my briefings with the president have all been completely fine.
Were they between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.?
He's asked questions. There hasn't been anything of note in the area that you're talking about.
Yeah, did you ever have to brief him before 10 a.m. or after 4 p.m.? We hear those are his good hours.
I've certainly, times that I have briefed have included outside those hours.
Right. Okay. I just, you know, I think the American people want to know how we got to this point with someone who's so diminished his own party has basically put him out to pasture. And since you had close proximity and the vice president had close proximity, I'm just kind of wondering if you were being straight with all of us about how things were going with him. I guess we'll have to figure that out.
You can count on me to be straight with you, sir.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.